Greetings, Earthlings. For those of you who are listening in after having been to the live show, Santa's Sci-Fi Salon, welcome back. And to those of you who didn't make it to the live show, you don't know what you're missing, but we've got a wonderful little extra here. A beautiful short story by the wonderful Hector Dyer and a fantastic song written by Clementine, 5 years old. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome you to the future. This is not a place of honour by Hector Dyer. You of the curious future, resist the urge to dig up our past. If you survive what was we have created, take nothing from under the soil. There is a land we call Aluka. Aluka means cave or hiding place and is now a vast forest by the great lakes under the old mountains. Aluka was once the richest city in all of this country. Early settlers discovered there was silver in the ground and dug, drawing out sacks on their back, then carts, then whole trains with carriages full of rocks glistening with the treasure buried deep in stone. People flocked to Aluka, growing rich of the underground's treasure, while men blasted, drilled and scratched away in the dark, digging their way closer to the centre of the earth. When it seemed that Aluka was bursting with the money, those below the ground found to their horror that there was less and less silver the deeper they went. They blasted, drilled and scratched away with more aggression and desperation than ever before until the carriages came up with nothing more than worthless broken rock. Those with money fled Aluka as quickly as they once arrived. Those below the ground stayed, dreaming of the past. By the time we got to it, Aluka was deserted. So we began. I wonder if you still call it Aluka. I wonder if you call it a different name. I hope you call it nothing. I hope you know nothing of it. I hope Aluka was buried with us. It's now wilderness, and in the very centre of this there's a forest with yellow trees that tower above all else. They appear as if by magic above the environment, a beacon of growth, some might say. Do not come here. Do not visit this land. Do not stay here. This is a dangerous place, full of our secrets. This is not a place of honour. You of the curious future, resist the urge to dig up our past. The clouds had been black for as long as they could remember when they finally reached the edge. As they made their way through, the swampy marshes slowly turned more solid and the air became ever so slightly clearer. For the first time in what seemed like forever, masks could be taken off for brief moments, eyes became less red and hair began to thicken. Skin swelled ever so slightly and smiles began to grow. For the first time in what seemed like forever, the air became cooler and on the horizon the hazy outlines of struggled forest could be seen. As they worked their way towards it, they stepped in soil with new saplings in it, old trees surviving and beginning to find strength again. Just occasionally a flower could be found and gradually the water was clear enough to wash in. With their progress, thoughts of the famine seemed to fade away. Rain became cooler, and children discovered that not all that came from the sky was hot and suffocating. Finally, the clouds lifted as they descended the mountains and found lakes of such immense depth that no pool could touch the bottom. They drifted across them for days as blue became the dominant colour above them for the first time since it all began. When they reached the other side, they found a land of swarthy and wild existence, where all the leaves, plants, roots and bulbs had been dyed blue by the air. But there was growth, and they knew it. Exhausted, they wound their way to the centre where the trees, for some reason, grew far higher than the rest. As they began to unpack, build up and spread out, they found worms under the ground, slugs just above it, and very occasionally there was a flutter and a squawk above them. Noises around them more common and frequent, and soothing masks were no longer needed even when sleeping. They were thrown away with relief. As the seasons passed and the camp became more ordered, sturdy and resolutely human, gradually the blue dye on the leaves could be seen to fade. As the seasons passed, some old trees were cleared, and bit by bit the camp came to take its place in the centre. As the seasons passed and more trees were cut down to make more room, stories and tales of the great journey took on a different tone. Voices told with disbelief and even laughter of how far they had come and what they'd left behind. As the seasons passed, few noticed how the blue on the trees was almost completely gone now. So gradual was its fading, and in its place a yellow leaf was growing. Few noticed how yellow their camp was, so busy were they cutting down trees. More space, more to do. At this time, one of the loudest and strongest of all the men announced that his home would be the most secure of all, and no matter what happened, he would ensure the safety of his family through his home. So began to dig down into the earth to lay foundations. Other men looked on, and suddenly their homes looked weak and flimsy in their eyes so soon. The yellow forest was alive with straining men digging day and night. On the fourth day, the first man reached something hard and unforgiving. He could go no deeper, no matter how much effort he gave. Soon all the men had reached this curious slab-like rock which refused to give and was stuck. They agreed that they could use this rock for their homes and for walls, so they came together on the same patch and worked on one spot. Cracks began to appear and the slab crumbled. Large chunks could be pulled off it, and one day a whole section collapsed in on itself with a great crash of dust. They peered in, and what they found astonished them. A mass expanse lay beneath them, a huge chamber of a perfect square. On the walls were signs with strange symbols and markings in another language, of another time. Coloured metal wires covered the walls and floor of the chamber, and curious, the men began to follow the wiring. Soon the whole camp was involved, and after this, every minute, heaps of earth, rock, wiring and metal were carried out into the light. They broke through to tunnels that led them deeper, a whole network that interlinked and took them further to the centre of the earth. In the camp there was an old woman, now very ill and unable to move. She was the last survivor of those who lived before the Great Famine. With her fading eyesight and shaking hands, those in the camp brought her more and more signs with the strange symbols to see if she could read them. At first they meant nothing to her, and she recognised nothing put before her. This made the camp even more desperate to follow the tunnels, convinced they would find treasures from before the Age of Energy. Slowly the old woman grew more familiar with the shapes and patterns, until the symbols began to speak to one another. With painstaking care, she began to piece them together, and words that she had not thought for what seemed like forever or even remembered that they existed came back to her. She whispered them to those around her, and soon everyone was whispering these words and repeating these strange sounds over and over. Men underground would say them in the tunnels as if calling out a password to some hidden gates. The old woman could not remember what they meant, but she knew they were bad. Something about these words made her frightened, but she could not remember why. The more she read, the more a feeling of dread came over her, and she begged anyone that would listen to stop digging. But they only listened to her when she gave them the new words. Predictions about what the words meant grew. Some thought canister might mean life force. Others hoped waste might be the name of an energy that powered the great machines they had heard of. Many wondered if plutonium was something that could heal and cure sickness, while the children were fascinated by uranium, convinced it was the power to make humans fly. All of the camp were bewitched by the coloured marking that they found everywhere. Three black triangles on a yellow background, and they placed these signs around the camp like flags. By this time it took half a day to walk from the entrance of the hole to where they were currently exploring, and as the camp in the yellow forest throbbed with excitement and intrigue, they finally found something. In a chamber with more signs and markings than any other, they saw huge shiny cylinders of an impenetrable substance. With glee and great care, they ran their hands over these pillars of cool, hard metal. As word travelled up, swarms of the camp flooded down, each breathless in what they would find. Slowly they rolled these cylinders up the tunnels and towards the light. With greater belief and volume than ever before, they chanted the words that the old lady had once whispered. After much strain and struggle, they eventually lined up the cylinders side by side, each glistening in the bright sunlight which shone through the clear blue sky. And finally, curiosity proved too great. With an almighty cheer that rung around the yellow forest, the first cylinder was pierced and opened. That was This Is Not a Place of Honour by Hector Dyer. So lastly, just before the end of this mini podcast, I would like to play you a song by Clementine, 5 years old. But first of all, I just want to tell you a little bit of background about the song. I asked Clem's mum to give us a bit of background about this song, and she wrote me this message. Clem is five and is the first term of year one at school, where they're doing a project about space. At home, she wrote a poem and asked Daddy to help her make it into a song. And this was all her idea. Daddy, whose name is Ben, used GarageBand to put together the track, and Clem sang her lines. She had a bit of a cold, but did really well, enjoyed herself at the time, and then that evening told us, her mum and dad, that she was finished with recording. She's now in the process of writing out Neil Armstrong's life story. So next up you're going to hear Clem's lovely story to finish off this podcast. And if you'd like more information about Santa's Sci-Fi Salon, you can visit www.bernadetterussellwordpress.com, where you can see some pictures of the evening and some more information about all the performers. very much for listening. It's been really good fun exploring and thinking about what the future might hold. I think that's pretty much up to us now to make sure and ensure that it's a brighter future. If you're listening to this and it's just before Christmas, we'd like to invite you, as we did invite our live audience, to make a wish for what you'd like 2017 to bring for the world, and have a think about what you might like that to be. And in the meantime, live long and prosper. Thank you. Good night.